This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Wars and rumors of war have filled the history of mankind with enormous amounts of killing and destruction. Over the many centuries of human existence, literally millions of people have been destroyed, captured, enslaved, or exiled from their national homelands. History has proved the 20th century was the bloodiest 100 years in our human existence. Over 50 major conflicts occurred worldwide. Today, in the 21st century, the Middle East and the growing threat of global terrorism maintains this trend of wars and rumors of war. The Israeli nation and Palestine, North America and Britain, Europe, and yes, Australia all remain on high alert, maintaining a sense of vigilance due to threats from Islamic jihadists claiming they want these cultures dominated or destroyed. But there's another war that goes on in parallel to all this violence that has overwhelmed the world for centuries, and it too is just as powerful in taking down nations and empires. It's this very subtle but extremely seductive conflict we'd like to explore on today's program. So stay with us.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Well, hello, and again, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once again. You know, at the outset of the program here, I think all of you were made aware, and it's no secret, that we are involved in a war on terror. As a matter of fact, it's no secret that many of us are growing in our concern as to whether or not we are going to get hit again, much like what happened over there in Australia. So many are now concerned with it happening right here in North America, where a gunman goes into a little cafe, starts shooting people up and taking hostages. Well, needless to say, there are growing concerns of whether or not some other public venues, such as airports or shopping malls, movie theaters, small arenas where hockey games and basketball games are being played, or even for that matter, small retail areas or the larger venues like where football games are played and baseball games are played, are not indeed going to become once again targets all over, right here in North America, be it Canada as well as the United States. And it's a legitimate concern without a doubt. However, there's another war that is going on right alongside this war on terror that is very insidious and just in some cases as destructive to the culture of those nations, Canada and America, right here in North America. Do you know what that war is, my friends? Well, it's stealth. It's quiet. It's off the grid. It is very, in some cases, secretive and subtle in many, many cases. As a matter of fact, it's driving some of us crazy. It's making some of us nuts. Others, I have to admit, are being lulled right to sleep. Oh, they're conceding, surrendering. They're just giving up many things and just becoming part of the changes with full acceptance, embracing some of these new definitions of what is happening all around us right here on this continent. And you know what this war is? Let me introduce it to you if you don't already recognize what it is. It's called the cultural war. Oh yeah, that's right. It's raging around us with rewriters and redefiners, reconstitutionalists and revisionists, all attempting to rewrite the history of the United States and to Canada to a lesser extent, to redefine the paradigms and to view the legacy a little bit different, to reduce or demise, or in some respects criticize and ridicule how these nations have become today what they are. And indeed, it is a high risk. As a matter of fact, it is quite destructive in the long run. And you know what's even though more insidious about this? Yes, the cultural war is indeed the event that's going on, but really what is the most destructive about it is the tactics and the methods by which the cultural war is being executed by. I want to talk a little bit about that. That's what I want to really zero in on today's program and draw some connections with the Bible. But before I do, let me interrupt myself, as we normally do here, to introduce to you our two free offers. Both are CDs. They're audio presentations given before a live audience, both 1 hour long, roughly, each of them, 2 hours, that we're going to be very highly complimentary to this particular program that we have here for you today. You need to get both of them if you want to get additional details on this particular topic that we're going ahead and presenting today. So dial that 888 number, 578-8791, and leave your name and number so that we can get this material out to you. They are, let me emphasize, free of charge. Nobody's going to be calling you. Nobody's going to be trying to ask you for money. Freely we've received, freely we give. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, we do accept donations and all, but there are no stipulations that you have to donate in order to get these two items that we're offering on today's program. Again, two audio presentations. One was Jesus Christ, Politically Correct, and the second one, America the Forgetful. Both one-hour presentations each that were given before a live audience. I think you'll really enjoy them because, as I said, this will be very complimentary to the program today. Along with that, you'll see our website there. Let me remind all of you about our webcasting feature every Saturday. Just hit our homepage, get the link, and find the time there, and rendezvous with us on that Saturday to listen in live, a speaker giving some presentation on Christian living, prophecy, addressing some perhaps current event that has hit the news that is maybe somewhat relative to all of us that are living here on this globe that we seem to be sharing and getting smaller by each year. But again, do dial that CGI.org number there and get us there on our website. So one more time with that phone number, 888-578-8791, and that website at CGI.org. And again, both of these offers are free. Now, back to the program here, talking about this cultural war that is indeed raging around us. There is a method and a tactic. There is rhyme to the reason of what is being used in order to forge the changes that we see happening all around us. There are redefinitions occurring, my friends. There are revisionists very busy at work attempting to try to get all of us dissuaded into believing certain things are true, certain things are right, when in fact those things were false and years ago were without a doubt wrong. And in some cases, they were aberrations. In some cases, you didn't need a whole lot of logic to determine the fact that that was just a bad thought or a bad thing, and that's something I don't want to be a part of. Yet, the methods are successful. The tactics have proved to be quite successful because our society here in North America, our social structure, our fabric of what our culture has been made up of is indeed changing. Now, do you know what those tactics are? Do you know what the methods are that are being used that are so subtle? Well, here they are. Let me introduce them to you. The first one is political correctness. Political correctness that freezes and paralyzes everybody from speaking what really is on their mind. And they do it through the process of incrementalism. Slowly, stealthily, incrementally, it is injected into the structure and without even noticing, in some cases, because it is so subtle, we find ourselves in change when before we even realize changes have occurred all through the guise of political correctness and incrementalism. You know, Iran went through some of these changes many years ago during the Reagan administration. Many of us will remember back about the Ayatollah Khomeini and how they became a theocracy under Sharia law. That nation changed. Later on, a few years later, the Soviet Union crumbled and it went through its change. Years before that, the commencement of former President Nixon traveling to China and China beginning to draw back its curtain to implement its change. And now, even more recently, in the times of Desert Storm and so on, we saw changes occur in Iraq, here most recently in Libya, and then later on in Egypt. We had all of these changes to the point today where we've got all different types of groups like ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Hezbollah. We've got Shiites and Sunnis all vying for land and geography, attempting to try to take power in their effort to emerge an Islamic state, a caliphate, if you will, and all trying to incur this change. Change, my friends, has become very prominent in the Middle East and, frankly, around the world. It just has different versions and different degrees and different styles and types. But change is still change. And some of you may say, yeah, but Bill, so what? What's wrong with change? Well, there's nothing wrong with change. The short answer to it is, of course, unless it's at the expense of others or it endangers others. That's destructive, my friends. But you may still argue, and others will argue the point, that, you know what, Bill, change, if change didn't occur, we'd still all think the earth was flat, or that the earth was the center of the solar system, or women may not still be able to vote, or maybe there would still be separate drinking fountains and bathrooms for certain races because their civil rights would still be violated. And of course, the entrepreneurial spirit of the development of technology and industry, electronics and healthcare, and all these things that go along with the development and progressive improvement of what these areas provide in the way of our society, we have to admit, are all due to change, correct? Correct, of course. I understand that, I get that, and believe you me, I am in agreement with that. But when is enough enough, my friends? When do we stop picking at the very fabric of our society and say, look, you know what? There are certain things that maybe we just shouldn't change. And I suppose that brings me to really what's at heart of this whole program. And that is, are there any things that are unchangeable? Is there anything that remains sacred anymore? Absolute. I mean, Jesus said in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does that imply? That implies that God doesn't change. Cultures change. Man changes in those cultures. Why, in the Roman Empire, men wore dresses and it was perfectly acceptable. Today, if a man wears a dress, well, you know, there might be something there that you have to question. My point is, the same yesterday, today, and forever implies that change, there is things that do not change. There are absolutes. There are things that are indeed stationary and should remain stationary. However, mankind remains obstinate. He remains adverse to really what God stands for, to revealed knowledge, to information that God would lay down as being what is right and what is wrong. As a matter of fact, this Bible is loaded with laws. It's loaded with a lot of advice, good advice, advice that if people would adhere to, my friends, there would be a reduction of pain, anxiety, worry, and angst. As a matter of fact, there would be an improvement in joy, in happiness. This book, though people dismiss it, they consider it old-fashioned, archaic, out of date, sadly and unfortunately, because in so doing, they miss a tremendous key to abundant living. Oh yeah, my friends, this book has the keys to life that if only we would take the time to read it, adhere to it, discipline ourselves with what it suggests and says about life, we'd find ourselves, yes we would, we'd find ourselves a lot happier. Let me show you for a minute here just what I'm talking about. Over here in the book of Mark, let me turn your attention to the book of Mark and in chapter 10, just to illustrate to you some examples of some modern concerns, modern items and subjects that we are certainly concerned about and are addressing and have issues with in the day and age that we're living in. That's right, right here in Mark chapter 10. And in verse 1, Jesus is talking about divorce and marriage. Notice this. He says he arose thence and he came to the coasts of Judea by the far side of Jordan. People there were coming unto him. The Pharisees also came to him and asked him, you know, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? And they were tempting him. They had an attitude about things. They were trying to entrap him. And he answered them and he said, well, what did Moses command you? And they said, well, Moses permitted us to write a bill of divorcement and put her away. And they're quoting there in the book of Deuteronomy. And Jesus said unto them, yes, he says here, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote this precept. That's right, for the hardness of your heart. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female, which gives us quite a clue there, my friends, by the way. But I'll just pass and not digress there for a moment. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, the two shall be one flesh. So then they are no more two, but one. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And in the house his disciples, well, they asked him privately. They said, as he said unto them, they asked him the same matter, the same question, and he said unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another commits adultery against her, and if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she commits adultery. Now, there's a context with that, but the point that I want to make in this particular case is that in the beginning, the issue regarding marriage was that it was not intended, that is, marriage, ever to be subject to divorce. As a matter of fact, my friends, God hates divorce. And if he had his druthers, as Jesus points out right here in Mark, that divorce really ought not to be, but was written primarily for the hardness of our hearts. How about homosexuality? Now, that there is a politically correct subject that, you know, we may not and should not, as the public square dictates, brush up on and not address. However, the Bible does address it. Oh, yeah, my friends, over here in the book of Romans, and let me go there for a moment and bring your attention to chapter 1, because a lot of people say homosexuality is not really addressed in the New Testament. It's purely an Old Testament law, and we all know the Old Testament laws have been done away with, right? Wrong. They have not been. But that's another story, and again, I digress. Over here, though, in verse 16, let me bring your attention to this particular subject. Paul writes in this book of Romans, first chapter, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just, they shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. He goes on here, who holds the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things, he says here, Paul does, of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And this goes to my point that I mentioned before in respect to the fact that man just does not want to accept revealed knowledge. Man does not want to concede or surrender his will to what he knows to be obvious indications that a God does indeed exist. Paul addresses that issue right here when he said, so they are without excuse. Nevertheless, he goes on, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they didn't glorify him, but became vain in their imaginations. Verse 22, they professed themselves to be wise, but in so doing, they became fools as far as God is concerned. It goes on here in verse 23. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into images made like corruptible men and birds and began to worship. Essentially, where Paul goes with this is essentially worshiping the creation more than the Creator. They became idolaters. That's where Paul goes with this. Wherefore God gave them up, verse 24, unto uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, look at this now, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature or creation more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And Paul ends the thought with an amen, but goes on, for this cause. For what cause? For this idolatrous cause, God gave them up, verse 26, he states. He gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Did you get that? Notice this. It gets better. Verse 27, and likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman. What are we talking about? I think, you know, doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out, my friends. And this is the New Testament in Romans chapter 1. Notice this. And likewise also men leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. What's that? It's disease. It's sickness. It's emotional and mental torment and disruption, disturbance, personality disorders. It's a lot of things that is met out as a result of involving oneself in these aberrations. Notice, Paul doesn't quit. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. Don't get mad at me. If you want to get mad at anybody, you get mad at the Apostle Paul. I'm just reading what he wrote here on behalf of the Word of God, my friends. And you know, we have to look at these things. These are the things that we're drifting from that are complicating our society with issues and questions and debates, frankly, that if we would just stick to the book, we wouldn't have, would we? No, we wouldn't. But let me continue here in verse 28 of chapter 1. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and they certainly didn't, God gave them up to reprobate minds, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy and murder. And he goes on listing a whole battery of things that certainly are not appealing as far as God is concerned. And he says here they are covenant breakers in verse 31, without natural affection. And he goes on, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, notice this now, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. My friends, this is part and parcel to what's going on around us in this cultural war. Notice over here regarding adultery, since we're on this subject. Let me take you over here to John chapter 8. You know the story. I'll just abbreviate it here and give you the long and short of it. And that is the woman caught in adultery. And the law states that she should be stoned back in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Well, Jesus, after he goes through a scenario here of addressing the Pharisees who brought her before him and asks them, who's without sin, cast the first stone, and then very cryptically begins to write some things in the dirt that there's been a lot of speculation about the fact that maybe he was writing names that were already connected to this woman prior to, and each one of these men were feeling guilty a little bit on their own and walked away one by one. But that's another story. My point here is I want to mention this. After Jesus says, well, he lifted himself up and he saw none, they all left, but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are your accusers? Has no man condemned you? And she said, no, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn you. And many people just stop right there and say, see, all we should do is have forgiveness and warm and fuzzy feelings about Jesus because he's all about forgiveness. Well, now just wait a minute. Notice what Jesus says here after the colon. He says, go and sin no more. What's that all about? What that is all about, my friends, goes to the very fact of the definition of sin. What is the definition of sin? Transgression of law. Jesus was a conservative toward the law of God. He was one who wanted to uphold the tenets of the commandments of God. He even mentions this to the rich man. I'll reference it over in Matthew chapter 19, where the rich man comes unto Jesus and says, "Master, what should I do in order for me to be able to enter into eternal life, the kingdom of God?" Jesus goes off and he addresses and lists a litany of the commandments of God. He goes back in Matthew 5, chapter 5, in verse about 17, where he says, "Think not that I've come to do away with the law." No, Jesus didn't come to do away with the law. Matthew 5, 17. Read it there, my friends. He did not come. As a matter of fact, he came to make it even more binding. Continue to read there in Matthew 5. You'll find he addresses anger to be like killing, and even looking on a woman to be that equated with lust and adultery. Now, there are things here in your Bible that illustrate, my friends, that as Christians, it is not always going to be politically correct when one takes a position on social issues, especially as that sociology begins to drift away from the very tenets and the very establishment of what God defines as right and wrong. And see, that's what's most important, and that is what we're missing today. We are leaving the basis of what God defines as right and wrong because people are dismissing the Bible as an archaic book when Jesus said he's the same yesterday, the past, today, the present, and he will be in the future. God's laws don't change. Time's run out on me. Go ahead and ask now that operator, dial 888-578-8791, and get those two free offers that we're offering on today's program. Is Jesus Christ politically correct, or was Jesus Christ politically correct? And also, America the Forgetful. Both are complementary to this presentation. Time's run out of me. It seems to go so fast when talking about these issues. That's why you need to get these two offers. Don't forget, 888-578-8791, and that website at www.cgi.org. My friends, this is Bill Watson, and as we always do, reminding you, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in these evil days.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.